Actually, while we're talking about technology and the like, there's some research out today from the Broadcasting Standards Authority looking at the way we use social media. They've identified different groups of people among social media users, and it's all about what motivates people to use social media, you know, use Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and the like, and why they decide to go on there. Now, one of the researchers involved in this is Victoria University lecturer Dr. Kathleen Kewen, who joins me on the line. Good morning to you.
Hey, good morning.
Well, so the purpose of the study was what, to try and establish who uses social media?
Yeah, well, we were interested in exploring the motivations behind Kiwi social media usage. So what do they do on social media and why? That was one of our main research questions. And it's really one of the first major research projects of its kind specific to New Zealand.
Right. And what have you found?
Well, we found that New Zealand media, social media users can generally be kind of categorized into five different user types, which we've identified as sporadic users. So people who kind of go on quite infrequently and, you know, use it mostly for information seeking. Lurkers, who kind of lurk around for entertainment purposes, also low-level users. Socializers, who tend to use social media predominantly to interact with other people. Then we have the debaters, who are quite active in, you know, publishing content that will, you know, create conversation or maybe a bit of political debate. And active users, who kind of cover all aspects of social media use.
Okay, so for someone who might, for example, go on Facebook maybe once or twice a day, what category would I be characterized under?
Well, it depends what you're doing when you're on there. Are you actively posting content? Are you engaging with others? Or are you merely just kind of looking at what other people are doing? If you're just looking and not posting, you're a lurker.
A lurker,
If you're liking things and you're sharing people's posts or commenting, you're probably a socializer or an active user.
Interesting. How much effort, and I just think about how much this has changed over the years in terms of the array of social media we have now, and I mentioned before Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, but then of course we have the likes of Snapchat, WhatsApp. How much effort do people put into trying to create a persona of themselves in the online world that may be either possibly accurate or one that simply does not reflect their lives?
This is a really important question and a really hard one to answer. You know, I could be really philosophical and ask, well, what does it mean to be an authentic person? But really what social media has done is it's created what we call context collapse. So think about Facebook, for example, and the way it brings together all of these different social groups who never used to interact and now are all in the same space. So not only are you presenting yourself for your friends and family who are on there, you might also have your colleagues, your boss, the people from your church, right? Different, you know, types of people who you would in person act differently in front of anyway. And so that's one thing that we see on social media. Sometimes users will strategically choose social media platforms in order to present a certain self to certain people. So it's kind of a hard question to really ask.
Because
or answer.
No. And I get that. But I've noticed a trend, for example, of people who may be going through enormous problems in their personal life, but then have no problem posting a photo of them with a huge big smile on their face, almost covering up, you know, what is actually going on in the real world. And I think, you know, it's this idea of this, and for some people it would certainly be an obsession, possibly an addiction to social media to paint that image of themselves, which is entirely inaccurate to the way their life is actually going.
Sure, that happens quite a lot.
Yeah.
And in our research, what we found is that users primarily fulfill or use social media to fulfill seven common gratifications. And so the idea here is that we use social media in specific ways in order to fulfill certain needs that we might have. And so, you know, plastering a smiley face might be filling some kind of, social interaction need, the need to, you know, be social, or we want to express something about our personal identity, whether that's, you know, accurate or not. Others include, you know, seeking, cognitive fulfillment, so information seeking or just habitual use. So it really depends. When people post, they are doing so in order to fulfill some kind of need. And so that kind of dictates what gets posted when, and, you know, whether or not that's accurate really is kind of hinges on whatever the gratification is they're looking for.
There was a piece I read several months ago about parents of a, especially mother, a mother of a newborn, when she posts a photo of the newborn child onto Instagram or onto Facebook, her mood level can be determined on how many likes she gets, how many comments she gets from people saying, what a beautiful, beautiful baby, and constantly on there checking the phone, checking the computer to see who has actually responded, which as wonderful as social media can be in so many ways and how it's transformed our lives, it can also play quite a negative effect on people who could be going through such as the mother of a newborn baby, who could be, you know, in a state where they, you know, we don't want them having to rely on what kind of mood they're in based on how many likes they get on a photo.
Yeah, and this is true, but I think in a way, social media, while we might look at this as a negative thing, it's also a space where people go to form social connections, and they have very intimate social connections with other people. Maybe they need that positive reinforcement, and that's why they seek it out. And in fact, one of the things that we found amongst our participants is that the social aspect of social media was fundamental for Kiwis. And so what we have found really is that social media fulfills, predominantly is used to fulfill a social function, be it to communicate with friends and family, to maintain existing relationships, to build new ones, or to look for the kind of social support that, you know, perhaps this mother was looking for. Mm. And in that sense, it suggests quite an intimate use for social connection and relationship maintenance, which I wouldn't be surprised, especially in New Zealand, if that weren't quite distinctive finding for an island nation where many people rely on social media to connect with friends and families overseas, or maybe they're, you know, an expat like myself. And nearly all groups mentioned that as being the case.
Yeah, indeed. It's fascinating how far we've come in just, you know, if you think Facebook really didn't really kick off in New Zealand until about 2007, from what I remember, and how far we've come with all sorts of different apps. It does, and I know that, as I mentioned, this the Broadcasting Standards Authority was involved in the research. Yes. It does also bring into question about how open people are in terms of what they post, and people's understanding of privacy settings, and when you don't want people finding out about you when you don't know them, and so on. It sounds to me, Kathleen, there needs to be, maybe we are getting more into a need for greater education when it comes to the use of social media, when it comes to the understanding of what you hear on social media.
Yeah, well, you know, you'd be really surprised in talking with our focus group participants. They were pretty savvy in terms of, you know, which platforms they used, how they set their privacy, and so on. So they actually make very strategic decisions about content, audience, and platform. But what we found is that, in fact, you know, when users post, they have an imagined audience in mind. And so even, you know, for example, this mother, she might not have actually been thinking about her, you know, wider social network. She might have only been thinking about her immediate close friends. But what happens is that, you know, if we use, and again, coming from our focus group participants who seem to use social media in quite an intimate way, you can imagine how when that content gets taken out of context, and republished on mainstream media, how that can be quite shocking and, you know, disappointing so it's both about what we hope this research will do is, you know, provide some maybe basis for educating the public, but the BSA would also like to work with broadcasters to sort of figure out, you know, do guidelines need to be put in place, you know, around republishing social media content.